What's on your mind, Australia? Give us a call and tell us what's on your mind just by dialing 1-300-564-652. That's the telephone number that you dial. If you'd like to send a text message, 0458 049 209, all in order that we can keep the dream alive.
The game will never be over, 'cause Aussie's keeping the dream alive.
Yep, a little useless information to start the day. Men get hiccups more than women. They drink more. 1-300-564-652. Friday morning, March 8, and the search for the body of East Ballarat mother Samantha Murphy is ramped up after a 22-year-old man was charged with her murder. Details about his identity have been suppressed by the courts, other than the fact that he's a Ballarat man who is the son of a former AFL player. But that's all we can say, apparently. It'd be contempt of court to reveal any other detail about the accused. Police allege Samantha Murphy was killed on the day that she disappeared, and according to reports, the alleged killer was not known to her. Victorian media outlets are going to be in court this morning seeking to have that suppression order lifted. Economic experts say that the Reserve Bank's most recent interest rate hike was a mistake. Hardly a stellar start to Michelle Bullock's time as governor of the central bank, is it? The November interest rate rise was in the first under Ms. Bullock, but the 13th since May 2022, and economists have now, they believe that that was one hike too many. They argue that previous rate rises were already slowing down the economy and that the inflation was coming down from its peak. Now the national economy slowed down to about a walk. It remains a recent aviation mystery and the subject of all manner of speculation, but today does mark 10 years since the disappearance of MH370. The Malaysian Airlines flight took off bound for China, but instead it turned around sharply after takeoff and was never heard of again. The most likely theory is that the captain of the plane deliberately decompressed the cabin and then flew south until he ran out of fuel. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns is under fire after suggesting that the tag "stupid white bastard" is not racist. But just imagine if the white part of the phrase was submitted for yellow or black, huh? There'd be trouble then. Premier Minns would be jumping up and down in outrage if that was the case. He might be a fan of soccer star Sam Kerr, but the minute you're alleged to have referred to the colour of somebody's skin as part of an insult, then you've introduced a racist element, whether you believe that or not. It's true. White people can be the subject of racism. Mr. Minns, just ask a few Zimbabwean farmers. They'll tell you all about racism. Meantime, Roosters NRL dope Spencer Liu has now admitted he did call Brisbane's Ezra Mam a monkey during the game in the Las Vegas season opener. Liu has issued an attempt at an apology and has denied he sought to use the term in a racial slur. His act of outright stupidity, I mean, and it was denied at the time, and it was, you know, got all sorts of coverage out of the Las Vegas Strip, as you would imagine, and focused on that one incident. Whatever suspension is imposed on Liu, he deserves an additional matches to lose a few additional matches for arrogance and stupidity, because he was certainly both of those. Today marks International Women's Day, with a new Status of Women report card showing that women are still paid less than men in the main. But Australia has jumped sharply in the gender equality stakes. Well, Brittany Higgins needs to realise that if you're going to use social media to insult people, you might be called to account over it. Ms. Higgins had to spend time in hospital in Perth this week after a day of mediation that included her boyfriend. Western Australian Supreme Court tries to settle the defamation case brought by Ms. Higgins by her former bus senator, Linda Reynolds. Higgins seems very adept at making all sorts of claims on social media, but the minute she's called out over it, off to hospital she goes. Well, that's how it looks. And a member of Lanes, a number of lanes on the Lane Cove Road, busy road, at North Ryde have been affected earlier this morning after an accident between a car and a motorbike overnight. In sport in the NRL, Canberra has continued the run of round one upsets with 28 points to 12 win over Newcastle in front of a big Knights home crowd. Tonight the Warriors are home to Cronulla, and then Melbourne is up against Penrith. We'll talk about it later. In the AFL, the Sydney Swans have made a dream start to the new season with a 22-point win over Melbourne at the SCG. Tonight, the Brisbane Lions play Carlton at the Gabba. And in cricket, Australia is set to take an unchanged lineup into the second test against New Zealand, which is starting in, in Christchurch. Well, there you've got it. That's a little of what is on my mind. I'd like to know what's on yours. And to tell us, all you got to do is dial the number. That's easy. 1-300-56-4652. Yes, the head of Cranbrook School has resigned after new allegations. There have been plenty of those floating around. Nicholas Sampson has sensationally resigned from his position following fresh allegations concerning a teacher at the considered-to-be prestigious school. Cranbrook head resigns after new allegations. Okay, who's there? Nicholas, are you there? Nicholas? Yes, okay, speak up, Nicholas.
Good morning, John.
Good morning, Nicholas. What can I do for you?
Long time no here. Firstly, a quick comment about hiccuping.
A quick
mention the comment about hiccuping, a bit of trivia info.
Yes, that's right. We had it at the start of the show, yes.
Right. Regarding hiccuping, it's a sign for me for when having hot curry food or chili food. I've learnt over the years that I just get my little pinky finger, dip it in the sauce. If it's too hot, I immediately start hiccuping.
Is that right? Well, isn't that interesting? I must put my little finger to the test.
Well, you call the toe test for testing the check of the temperature of the water. Or the little pinky does the little test of whether it's too hot or not with chili or curry.
Okay.
If I take a teaspoon or a mouthful of anything that's too hot for me, I'm in trouble big time.
Really?
With hiccuping. I won't be able to stop.
But goodness gracious me, what a terrible dilemma for you.
But what I'm saying that, I've learned over the years to neutralise it, it's either yogurt or tomato or combination of the both.
Well, well, well. Isn't that interesting? Now, why haven't you called me to talk about your hiccuping problem, Nicholas, I'm sure?
Well, no, I just wanted to share that little bit of trivia with you and your listeners, but also it's been 3 years since I've been able to be tuned into you, John, because of my going west from the Gold Coast, I'm 2.5 hours west of the beach and the coastline, and I've got an annoyance of Triple J coming over the same frequency. Hence, I've been unable to tune into you and the whole network for the last 3 years.
Yeah, well, I don't know why that should happen. It shouldn't happen.
No, exactly. The annoyance, I've got another radio station. I've been tuning into you since 2010, and another station I've been tuning into since 2005. It's got the ABC coming over the same frequency as well, which is equally frustrating the blazes out of me.
Well, that would be extremely frustrating. I can understand that. If you're opposite the Gold Coast west, you're probably getting a signal from West Queensland. That's probably where that's coming from.
Well, it was only 2 hours west in Bow Desert, just south of Brisbane.
Yes, I know Bow Desert.
But I'm in the what I call the foothills of Bow Desert, west of the state line, the railway line between Brisbane and Sydney. And whether it's being in the foothills, it's got the signals bouncing off, etc. I don't know.
How aggravating.
Very aggravating. It's annoying, frustrating, and infuriating.
Yeah, okay. Well, you've just got to put up with it, Nicholas, or move.
Right. Just quickly to wrap up, please, John. A triple belated greetings to the new year. We're into March already. And 3 weeks away, have a happy and blessed Easter to you and all your listeners.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you very much, Nicholas. It's very kind of you. All right. Give us a call. Tell us what is on your mind. My friend, and she is my friend, and I really think she's a wonderful woman, Dame Helen Mirren. I spent some time with her, both in London and here. She's a lovely, lovely woman and a brilliant actress. Anyway, Dame Helen Mirren has now been honoured with her own Barbie doll, and I'm sure she's excited about it. She's among eight famous women who have had dolls made in their likeness to mark the toy's 65th anniversary and to recognise their achievements as female storytellers. Helen Mirren said, "It's something I can add to my list of my favourite achievements, becoming a Dame of the British Empire, having an Oscar, having a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and having my own Barbie." Isn't she nice? And she does have all those things. She did become a Dame of the British Empire. She did win an Oscar. She does have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now she's got her own Barbie. Other dolls have been made for, I think, Shania Twain. Kylie's got one. Viola Davis has got one. As well as the comedian activist, whose name I can't pronounce. Second name is Armani. It's really quite an achievement, and it's really quite an honour. Anyway, Dame Helen is happy about it, and that's something. Yes, oh, she's a character too. She's a lovely, lovely person, Helen Mirren. 1300, yes, I did meet her. I spent time with her in London. You're going to buy me a Barbie doll? A Dame, well, that'll be interesting, won't it? Okay, give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. Kevin, are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Hello? Yes, Kevin.
Yeah, John. Yeah. Going back last year, down in the same area where the lady's missing, there was a young girl jogging, and a chap come up behind her with a rock and smashed her in the head. And she said he was barefooted and young.
I see.
You know, she was in a bit of a mess. She ran away and got one of the neighbours helped her.
And he hit her on the head with a rock?
With a rock, yes.
Dear, dear, dear. Anyway, the point is about this one, Kevin, we don't have any detail about it at all, so we can't assume it's the same person, I doubt it.
Well, it was on Channel 9 about a fortnight ago, in their crimes thing on a Monday night.
Yeah.
And they showed the photos of her with all the blood running over her face and coming out of her head.
Oh, God.
And she said he was young and he was barefooted.
Anyway, the point is, Kevin, we have no idea whether that was the same person or not, so we can't...
No, I'm just a coincidence, that's all.
Yes, I know. I know you're not meaning any harm by it, Kevin. All right, thank you for the call. Have a lovely day. Have a lovely weekend, Kevin.
Yeah, you too, John.
Thank you. Bye. Right, pick up the telephone, dial the number and tell me what's on your mind. There's been a bit of relief for the family of Samantha Murphy, a bit, with a young man finally being charged with murder over the disappearance. That was more than a month ago. Miss Murphy left her Ballarat home on the morning of February 4 for a bit of a run, which she did, I think, on a fairly regular basis, but she's not been seen since. Her heartbroken family, and you can imagine they would be absolutely destroyed. They've been desperately searching for any sign of her, and though yesterday's murder charge is devastating, her husband Mick Murphy says it is, in a way, a relief. Officers arrested 22-year-old man on Wednesday. He's the son of a former AFL player, but his lawyer successfully had his name suppressed yesterday after it had already been published far and wide. Why they want to suppress his name, I can't tell you. Nonetheless, the suppression order remains in place now, despite lawyers for several media organisations yesterday arguing against that suppression order. Defence lawyer David Tamanika said that it was his client's first time in custody and he was at risk of self-harm. Who cares? Media outlets are expected to fight the order again today. I mean, I think that just makes me sick. I don't know. He was at risk of self-harm. Police will allege that the 22-year-old man deliberately attacked Ms. Murphy on the day she went missing at Mount Clare on Ballarat's southern fringe. He was questioned on and off for about 30 hours before the murder charge was laid, but has apparently refused to cooperate with the investigation in any way. Victorian police say that their paramount concern at present is locating Ms. Murphy's body to provide closure for the family. You can imagine the heartbreak of the family. Terrible, terrible. You know, they've got an extremely tough time ahead of them. To just lose somebody one day, totally out of the blue, and never see them again, I mean, that would be absolutely awful. You know, they don't have a body. They don't know if she suffered greatly. We can only hope she didn't. They don't have any answers to any of those questions. In other words, they don't have a lot at the minute. Okay, 1-300-564-652, and tell me what's on your mind. That talented little group got themselves together, but they did. They're Paul McCartney and Ringo singing with Dolly Parton. It's good, though, isn't it? Let It Be, good song. 1-300 for... I think we might have Dale. We got Dale there?
Dale.
Dale. Well, what a lucky surprise. Isn't that nice? Good morning, Dale.
How are you going?
I'm going pretty well, mate. What about you?
We're going to the Easter show.
You're going to the Easter show?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. I'm happy to hear that.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, you'll have a lot of fun at the Easter show. What are your favourite things at the Easter show? What do you like best?
See the animals.
You like seeing the animals?
See the show bags.
Yeah, I know you like those show bags.
You do.
Yeah, you like those show bags. But some of the animals you can touch and pat, can't you?
And pat them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's really nice to be able to do that. You like animals, don't you?
I do.
They're lovely things, aren't they? They give so much pleasure to people like you and me and others. We should all be very grateful for the animals we have in this world.
Yes, yes.
Now tell me, what have you been up to? Have you been going to bed on time? You've been eating your food? You've been doing everything you should?
Been working. Working hard, busy.
Okay, but tell me, what have you been working at?
Been packing screws, packing.
Wow, there's a lot of packing going on there.
A lot of work. It's a lot of work.
Packing screws. You've been doing that for a long time.
I've been doing it a long, long time.
A long time. Anyway, you must be doing it well, or they wouldn't get you back doing it again, would they?
Yeah. All the jobs come to the truck. To get picking.
Well, that's good. Yeah. And you do the jobs.
And do the job.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Are you going to sing me a song today?
We are singing the choir. We are singing at the Easter show.
Well, that's going to be good, isn't it? Singing at the Easter show. Wow, yeah. You'll be very famous.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of people are going to be there. Heaps of people.
Oh, heaps and heaps of people are going to be at the Easter show.
Lots of people. Yeah.
You'll be able to get some show bags. They still
show
have...
Bags.
Huh?
A lot of show bags. Yes. A lot of Dale Lee's show bag. Heaps of... lot of...
What's your favourite show bag?
I like the Dale Lee show bag.
Dale Lee, well, yeah, because you like the chocolates.
You do.
Yeah,
you, do.
You like the chocolates. Anyway, that's good. Daryl Lee chocolates are very nice chocolates.
Yeah.
Now tell me, what else have you been up to? You've been going to bed on time, been doing all the things you should do.
Been watching movies.
You've been what?
Watching movies.
Really?
Watching movies. Been watching all the movies.
Okay, what have you watched?
I've been watching, Ghostbusters, been watching...
Come on, think hard now. You've been watching Ghostbusters?
Yeah. The Sound of Music.
Oh, Sound of Music. The hills are alive. That's a nice movie, isn't it? What's that? It's about a family. Is it the Von Trapp family?
Tungsek family?
Yeah, about them.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you'd like that, The Sound of Music. A good film. You'd like that.
Yeah, we'd like it. I've been watching The Puppet Stuff.
The what?
Fifth Year Puppet Stuff.
Oh, really?
Richie Pearl?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Jimmy, you know what I mean?
No, I'm not familiar with that. Now tell me, what have you got planned for the weekend? Anything special?
On the weekend we go to church.
You what?
Go to church.
You got to go to church. You see Father Adam.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, that'll be nice. Don't forget to tell Father Adam that I said hello, will you?
Yeah. Someone's birthday next Saturday. My family's Jay's birthday is on the 13th.
Oh, well, isn't that wonderful? Today is the 8th, yeah? That'd be about right. Well, that's good. Are you having a party? Is there a party on?
A party at my family.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that'll be good fun too. Oh, you've got a lot of good things to look forward to.
You do.
You sure do.
You sure do.
You sure do. Now, have you been doing any cooking?
I do cooking every Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. I know, but have you done something different to roast lamb?
Been cooking steak.
Steak?
I've been cooking steak.
Oh, wow. Grilled steak?
Pepper steak?
Yeah, pepper steak. You've been making pepper steak?
Yeah.
With little peppercorns on it?
And corn onion, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I love those onions. Fried onions. I'm not sure they're good for you, but I love fried onions. So you've got a steak there, and on it you've put some peppercorns.
Peppercorns?
Yeah, and then you've put some onions with it as well. What about chips? Can you make chips?
I'm going to make chips.
You do know how to make chips?
Yeah, you do.
Well, you're a very, very clever cook, aren't you?
Yeah. The show starts on the 22nd of March.
Yeah.
It's the 22nd of March. It's closed on the 2nd of April.
I see. So we've got to keep that in mind, have we?
Yeah, keep it in mind.
Yeah, we'll keep it in mind. Are you going to sing me a song today?
A song that we sing. What song we sing in the Domus Choir?
I don't know, mate. I'm not there. But I'd like to know. But you haven't sung me a song for a while, and I like it when you sing songs.
What song was it? You Are My Sunshine. I'm a sunshine. You were singing My Sunshine. Come on.
Yeah, you can do that.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy with such a play. You never knows how much I love you.
Please don't take my sunshine away. Well, what happens next? The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamt I held you in my arms.
And now I was mistaken. So I hung my head and cried.
Oh, it's a sad song. It's a sad song.
Yeah.
Can you sing Climb Every Mountain from The Sound of Music?
Climb the mountain.
Climb every mountain.
Someday in the dream on any mountain.
Well, you're saying Climb Every Mountain.
When they sound on easy, but though a dear, a female dear, may a turtle for the sun, me and me, I fall myself, follow the way to run, so that she's a pretty fair, love the sun and sun and sun. She's a tender man of pain, and the brain got back to good.
Very, very good. That's a difficult song to sing, but you did it very well.
You're singing very well.
Oh, very, very, very well. All right, mate. Well, when you go to church, don't forget to tell Father Adam that I said hello, will you?
Yes, say hello, yes.
Yeah, tell him I said hello, and I hope he's well.
Easter eggs, half the bunch, you know, half the bunch, you know what I mean?
Do I know? Oh, yeah, hot cross buns.
Yeah, yeah.
I like those hot cross buns. Where was I somewhere where somebody gave me a hot cross bun?
Someone gave some.
Oh,
yeah.
The Mother Superior gave me a hot cross bun. I like them.
I like it.
Yeah. Apparently I didn't like that one. I don't know why I didn't like it. Anyway, I like hot cross buns generally. You know, it's a lovely time. It's a lovely time, isn't it?
Lovely time.
Okay, yeah. Mate. Well, I'd better go and try and make some money, I guess. When are you going to the show, to the Royal Easter Show?
Lovely time.
Yeah, we lost you. We lost Dale there somewhere. All right, mate, well, you have a lovely, lovely, lovely weekend, won't you? Yeah, we've lost him. Somebody's interfering there. That happens sometimes with Dale calls, and I don't like it. Other people want to interfere. Leave him be. He's okay. He's happy. He's singing songs. He's talking to me, and he's having a good time. So, for God's sake, leave him be. Okay, tell me what's on your mind. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has spent the last 24 hours in absolute damage control following a suggestion of being called a stupid white bastard. You can't help but like the bloke, eh? But anyway, as I say, he's in 24 hours spent in damage control following a suggestion that being called a stupid white bastard is not racist. And his parentally angry-looking health minister, Ryan Park, rather tritely suggested that he'd been called much worse. He's a member of the Labour Party, so of course he's been called much worse, but that's not hardly the point. I mean, there's always a degree of racism, just because an even more grave form of racist words might be available doesn't somehow cleanse or lessen the original remark, does it? You know, the New South Wales Premier's comments have come in the wake of Sam Kerr's alleged racial harassment of a UK police officer, with the claim that she had referred to the policeman as a stupid white bastard. Well, if that's true, it shows the quality of Sam Kerr, and I would dismiss it immediately and not worry about it at all. But that's what they claim she'd referred to the policeman as a stupid white bastard. Chris Midns needs to stop and think about the whole thing. Imagine if the word white in that phrase was replaced by black or yellow. I mean, there's no way he'd be fobbing off a remark like that in the manner that he has. I mean, he wouldn't get away with it. And that's what's drawn deserved condemnation of the Premier. Now, as you know, I like the Premier. And I think up until now he's done a pretty good job. But he's put his foot in it this time. I mean, you can't pick and choose what is racist and what is not. If somebody is targeting the colour of a person's skin, then that's racism. I mean, had Sam Kerr allegedly called the officer a stupid bastard, it might highlight her disdain for police officers, but it wouldn't have veered into the domain of racial abuse, would it? I mean, if she just called the bloke a stupid bastard, she would have got away with it. And I would urge Premier Minns just to imagine for a moment that a different skin colour had been mentioned, because in that scenario, there's no way that you would seek to downplay or minimise a remark like that. Some columnists seem to think that a white person is beyond being racially abused. Well, that's racism. That's got to be accompanied by some sort of power imbalance that takes us back to colonisation, doesn't it? It's bloody. The whole thing is stupid. And look at what happened in Zimbabwe. White farmers have been kicked off their land, tortured, killed in front of family members, and all because they were white. No other reason. All because they were white. Most Jewish people are white too, and yet they continue to endure all sorts of racial and religious discrimination. Merely being an Israeli is enough to set off the pro-Palestinian fanatics, and away they go. And yet These Israelis in the main are white, aren't they? Chris Minns is very quick to respond to claims of anti-Semitism, but he's apparently happy enough to have a white person's skin colour mentioned in a negative way when he would never tolerate the same remark about a black person. Look, you can't... Chris Minns, a nice fellow, and you know that I like him, but you can't pick and choose, Premier, you really can't. In his desire to support the odious Sam Kerr, can't abide her. Chris Minns has proven himself to be a stupid bastard. Sorry, I have to say it. I don't need to refer to his skin colour to make my point, I'm sure. OK, a couple of text messages here. When are they going to give you the John Laws Ken doll? I don't know, Ben in Cairns. Helen now has a Barbie doll likeness. All order one, and if they offer a John Laws Ken doll, watch this space. I don't understand that at all. Morning, John. I just want to make everybody aware that insurance companies are warning campers that if their tent is stolen in the middle of the night, that they won't be covered. Oh, dear. It's Friday. We're getting desperate. 1-300-564-652. This is hard to believe, but I believe it. Rupert's engaged again. Rupert Murdoch is engaged again. According to the New York Times, the 92-year-old is engaged to a 67-year-old by the name of Ellen Zukova. She's apparently a retired molecular biologist who he started dating last year. He moves quickly, doesn't he? This is his sixth engagement, and if he marries her, it'll be his fifth marriage. With a net worth of about $20 billion, there's no doubt a few stressed-out family members are having a talk to the lawyers. It was only a couple of years ago that Murdoch emailed his then-wife, Jerry Hall, telling her he wanted a divorce. Remember that? He's a very clever man, but he's a very strange one. OK, tell me what's on your mind just by dialing that number, 1-300-564-652.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thank you much, everybody. Randy Travis and Josh Turner together. It's a good song, isn't it? I like it. Your Man, that's called. As they say, Your Man. That's how they say it. All right, give us a call. Tell us what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number. Pick it up, dial it. Who's there? Mark, are you there?
Yes, hello, John.
Good day, Mark. What can I do for you?
All right. Now, I just wanted a bit of information on, you know, like that song, A Few More Years On You.
Yes, I love that song.
Yeah, great song. Great song.
A couple more years.
Yeah, a couple more years. Yes.
That's it. Dr. Hook. Yes.
Dr. Hook. That's all I want to know. Yep.
Okay, well, there you go, Mark. You know it now. Thank you for the call. But that's who it is, Dr. Hook. So now Mark knows. You can go and get a copy of it or listen to it some way or another. It's a good song. I agree. It's a good song. A couple more years, it's called. Okay, call us. And tell me what's on your mind, Australia. 1-300-564-652 is the number that you dial. We are into the second hour of the John Laws Morning Show, so give us a call. 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number that you dial. If you'd like to send a text message, 0458-049-209. Why do you think Rupert Murdoch keeps getting married? Well, you've got to spend the money somewhere. Well, in a fairly twisted turn of events, the soldier, this is not a good story, the soldier son of former Defence Minister Joel Fitzgibbon, who was a good man, the son of Joel Fitzgibbon has died following a tragic parachuting accident at Sydney's Air Force Base near Richmond. Lance Corporal Jack Fitzgibbon was conducting a routine training drill at the base northwest of the city on Wednesday when his parachute failed to deploy properly. Going to be a lot of questions asked about that. Why did it not deploy properly? The 33-year-old was critically injured in the accident and was rushed to Westmead Hospital yesterday afternoon. The Army's Acting Special Operations Commander, Brigadier James Kidd, said that Fitzgibbon had died. Jack Fitzgibbon had died. He was a Special Forces soldier in the 2nd Commando Regiment. You know, it's a tragedy. And it's something that any parent of any soldier would fear. The fact that the parent of this soldier was the Minister for Defence has struck a nerve in Canberra, with current Defence Minister Richard Miles yesterday expressing his condolences to the Fitzgibbon family. Joel Fitzgibbon was the Rudd government's Defence Minister from 2007 to 2009. He retired from politics in 2022. Many may also know his daughter Grace, a regular reporter on the Nine Network before she, I think she's gone to Seven. In a statement, the Fitzgibbon family said that serving in the Special Forces was Jack's dream, and it brings some comfort to know that he died while serving his nation in the uniform of the Australian Defence Force. Acting Special Operations Commander Brigadier Kidd says Defence has paused all parachuting operations and is reviewing the incident. He says it's too early to speculate on what may have occurred. The 2nd Commando Regiment has paused training and gathered in Holsworthy to process the news and show respect. All right, 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number that you dial. Charlie, are you there?
Yes, John. I just want to tell you a story. A friend of mine, he was a minister in a church, and one day him and three other ministers were going to a conference. Along the way, they spoke about, one of the ministers brought up a conversation. He said, "My son is 10 years old, and the problem is his dog died yesterday, and because of the Christian faith, you know, dogs and animals don't have souls. Now, and so what should I say to my son, you know?" And our minister said, he said, "What you should say is, you look, they mightn't, your dog mightn't be in heaven, but it'll be at the gate. So every time you go, you want to see your dog, you know, you can go to the gate, give it a pat, and then go back into heaven." And I thought that was a really good answer to give a young 10-year-old child that, you know, was grieving for the loss of his dog, you know. And I thought that was a really good story.
Is that it?
No, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for boring you, John.
You what?
I said, I'm sorry if I'm boring you.
Well, you've more than bored me. You've bewildered me as well.
Why? What's wrong with that? What's wrong? I just told you a story, and you know, I mean, it's just that the, you know, that was the story.
And that was the story.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's the story.
That's the story, yep.
Why did you... out of it...
No. The reason I was ringing is just that, you know, people have got pets and that type of thing, you know, and, you know, they talk about one day they're going to be reunited with their pets and different things, you know, but, you know, with the... you know, with the Christian faith.
Stop saying you know, because I don't know.
Oh, well, from what I've learnt is that pets, you know, it's only humans that have got souls. And our minister answered in the sense that the pet will be outside of heaven, but you can go and pat it at the gate. And
I see. Know. So there's a moral to this story.
Yeah. You've got to be careful how you break the news to children or any, you know, just to, you know, you've got to be sensitive.
Hey, Charlie.
What, John?
I bet you're glad you rang up.
Well, I'm just trying to say something. I'm just trying to brighten the day up, you know. So,
The day was perfectly right until you started to talk about dead dogs.
Yeah, well, it happens, doesn't it?
What, dogs die?
Yeah, dogs die, pets die, humans die.
That's right. Well, so, I still don't get the message from your call.
Well, the reason I rang was to say that that was a story I wanted to deliver. Now, if you don't like it, I'm sorry about that. But, I'm John, look, I hope you have a great day, and I love the music you play. I love the people you put on. I like the way you give everybody a sounding, and I'd like to wish you a happy day.
Well, that's very nice of you, Charlie. Very nice of you.
Okay, mate. Bye.
I'll play a song that you'll like, I know. Trouble is, I've played that already, haven't I? 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number, but I love the song, I really do. Give us a call, tell us what it is that's on your mind. 1-300-564-652 is that telephone number that you dial. Pick up the phone and dial that number. Tell us all about it. All right, 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number. Robert, thank you for your text. I'll read it. John likes Marty Robbins. Maybe he's never heard the Master's Call. I sure have heard it. Would you pass this on? Thank you, Robert. That's very kind of you. Yes, I'm familiar with the Master's Call. I'm familiar with most Marty Robbins music. And, you know, I love the Big Iron. We play the Big Iron a bit. But you're right about the Master's Call. It's a good one. And there's hardly a song that Marty Robbins, El Paso, hardly a song he did that wasn't a good one. Everything he sang was good. Fascinating voice, wonderful, wonderful singer. Okay, pick up the telephone, dial the number and tell me what's on your mind. I think most of us have grown tired of the drama and the bloody antics surrounding Brittany Higgins and her boyfriend David Shiraz. We have had enough. We have had enough. I mean, this week they've returned to Australia by order of a Western Australian court to personally attend mediation talks over a series of allegedly defamatory social media posts made by the pair against Senator Linda Reynolds. She's the former boss of Higgins and a staffer of Bruce Lerman. Mrs. Higgins, God, I'm tired of her. She continues to play the victim card, and we're all getting tired of that, not just me. Despite the fact that her claims of sexual assault inside Parliament at some time well after midnight on a weekend will never be proven to be a criminal of criminal standard. They will never. They can't. And depending on what happens with an upcoming federal court judgment, they may never even be proven to be worthwhile at a civil standard. So then what happens? Well, unfortunately, the Commonwealth has already paid more than $2 million to Brittany Higgins for supposed pain and suffering. Can you believe this? $2 million for supposed pain and... Oh, poor little pet. Despite never testing her claims at the time, despite the mediation talks taking less than a day, and without the attendance of anybody who might have given a contrary view to her allegations, nobody there. I mean, it was a stitch-up by the Albanese government. That's what it was, designed to embarrass members of the former Morrison government, but using our money to do it. Thank you very much. Well, this week, Ms. Higgins and Mr. Shiraz have had to attend court in Perth for mediation talks. The word from Brittany Higgins was that it would be terrible being in the same room as her former boss, despite the fact that the pair had become regulars on the courtroom scene. Now she's saying she's uncomfortable with it. What Miss Higgins truly loathes is any security applied to her. I mean, if people want to look closely at her claims, yes, the whole thing's going to fall apart. If somebody looks very closely, the whole thing will fall apart. Lisa Wilkinson certainly applied no journalistic scrutiny to the allegations. She was contacted by Shiraz, who figured that she would be an easy target for the story. And Mrs. Wilkinson took the bait, hook, line and sinker, didn't she? And now that's just about fixed up her journalism career. At least she has a Logie as a memento of her time in television. And this week, after a day of mediation talks, Brittany Higgins was reportedly taken to hospital. You notice the media always seems to be backgrounded about these turns. Nothing's private. Everybody knew she was going to go to hospital. And the idea, of course, is to perpetuate the victim status, which they do very well. But you can't fire off all sorts of comments on social media and hide behind your alleged victimhood when it comes to accountability. You've got to be accountable. If Mrs. Higgins finds all of this too much, then she and her boyfriend should stay off the social media platform altogether and quietly return to France and spend the rest of her money. Tell me what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Pete, are you there?
Yeah, John, how are you going this morning, mate?
I'm pretty good. What about you?
Yeah, not bad, mate. I'm up here in God's country in Gyra. It's nice and cool. We're sitting at 20 degrees and I'm sitting in the paddock cutting wood, so life couldn't get better, mate.
No, life couldn't get better. Now tell me, you're cutting wood with a chainsaw?
Yeah, mate, I'm too lazy to cut it with the axe, mate.
Okay, but you're cutting it. What sort of chainsaw?
Husqvarna, mate. I've always used Husqvarna. My old man used Husqvarnas, so...
Yeah, Husqvarna. I used to ride Husqvarna bikes, and I used to use Husqvarna chainsaws, but I liked steel, I've got to say. I was a steel man.
Yeah, I like to support the local. We're only a small town, mate, and we've only got a Husqvarna supplier as well. So I like to support the local blokes. You know, you buy all your stuff local, it helps.
Yeah, good on you. Good on you, Pete. That's the way to go, support your local man. And apart from that, he's selling a very good product in Husqvarna. I was very familiar with them, and I had a couple of Husqvarna chainsaws. I had a little one that you could hold in one hand that I used to prune with. It was a wonderful little chainsaw. I guess you can still get them.
Yeah, some of the bigger chainsaws... John, I reckon it'd be like riding a Husqvarna motorbike. They got that much kick.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to put it between your legs while you're cutting. I'll tell you what, you could be in big trouble.
You make sure you get your hand on the front bar in case she comes back, because you want to make sure that chain locks
out. Sure. All right, Pete, now we better get on with it. Why did you call?
I've got to remember now. Oh, no, I do remember. I've got two things I want to talk about, John. The first one I'll talk about is Brittany Higgins. So I've talked to you a lot of times before about I'm an Army veteran, you know, and I just heard you say Brittany Higgins got paid out $2 million, right?
Yeah.
So I'm on a gold card with DVA, and the maximum payout I could get, they said to me that I could not have any more injuries. Like, I've got the maximum payout that I could get from DVA, which equaled up 15 years of service. Like, don't get me wrong, I get a pension, but my maximum payout was $379,000. And that's after serving overseas numerous times, coming back with PTSD and physical injuries and everything. It's a bit embarrassing, I think, as a soldier that fought for the country, to know that a lot of my mates struggle to get anything from the government, which DVA is, and yet... She went and got drunk and she gets $2 million.
Yeah, I think you're making a very, very legitimate point.
I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. I just wanted to have a quick whinge about that before I get on to my next point, John. That was all.
DVA, for people who don't know, is the Department of Veteran Affairs.
Correct. And look, don't get me wrong, I think they're trying to do the right thing, and they can't pay everyone... Like, they can't go and give everyone $2 million. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, you know, where's the justification in giving her $2 million, considering she's still got a long life? So basically, they just paid her not to work ever again in her life. So we're promoting laziness in the country.
I don't see there's any justification at all, but we're looking at it from our point of view. Maybe there is a different point of view. Maybe they're looking at it a different way, but... I think it's extraordinary. It's a lot of money.
And it's a good thing about this country, John, is that everyone can have their own point of view and their own say. So you know, like that's theirs. That's the way they dealt with it. Like it or lump it, it is what it is.
Can't do much about it. You're quite right. No. It is what it is.
Now, John, my second point, mate, like I'm Aboriginal, or part Aboriginal. Like I've got an Irish father, an half Aboriginal mother, so that makes me, I've got a tinge in me. Anyway, proud to say that I'm Aboriginal, man. Mate, I'm going to go out and say it. I'm going to be very unpopular, but Sam Kerr has put us back 20 years. With what she said, like, my kids are too black to be white, and they're too white to be black, if that makes any sense when you look at them. So they cop it all the time from both sides. Sam Kerr has got a national figure. She's gone and said what she said. She's called, allegedly, because I've got to go to court. She's called this policeman a white whatever. We don't like being called black so-and-sos, and that's a big thing in our culture, but yet a public figure has gone and done that. They've just put it back 20 years, John.
Yeah, well, I just think it was a stupid thing to do.
You know, and I haven't seen, look, and this will be controversial as well, she identifies as Aboriginal. She's identified as LGBTQ, whatever it is now, and she's female. Nothing's been done to her in way of she's still the Australian captain, as far as I know. She's I haven't heard anything about a sponsor dropping her. But more importantly, she's a hero to a lot of young Indigenous women and men, I suppose. You know, she's put us back. They're going to follow her lead.
Yes, look, but she has got to understand, and I'm led to believe she's not a fool. I think she was stupid in this regard, but if you're in the public eye, you've got to protect your own name. You've got to protect your own image. If you make money from that image, if you make money from that name, you've got to be very careful, and you're talking to one who knows. You've got to be very careful. People are ready to snipe at you at any given opportunity. Any frailty at all, they will make merry hell with it, and they really do. She should have known that.
And you make a good point there, John, because I was talking to my kids about it. I've got a 17-year-old boy and a 15 going on a 35-year-old daughter. I said to him, I said, look, this is why I explained to him, this is why you've got to learn to have resilience in your life, because if you're so offended by someone, and black, white, brindle, whatever, I said, if through your life people are going to call you names, people are going to test you because they want to bring you down. I call it crab in the bucket.
That's right.
The crab. You know, they're going to try and bring you down. If you've got no resilience to be able to just look at it and think, well, that's their opinion, I think. And I'm not an educated man, John, but I think they call it a bigot if you think someone can't have their own opinion.
They call it what? They call it what?
Do they call it a bigot?
Yeah, a bigot. That's the word, yeah.
So everyone's entitled to their opinion. And if you're offended by it, well, and you want to go to battle with them, fair enough. But then you're the weaker person in my eyes, because if you can just say, well, that's their opinion, good on them, it doesn't affect me because I'm comfortable in my own skin. I don't know, maybe I'm talking...
No, you're talking sense. No, you're all right, Pete, nothing wrong with what you said.
But it's just hard. Like, I do a lot of football coaching and stuff like that, and a lot of different cultures come together, and the first thing you try and do is teach the kids to understand each other's cultures. Well, that's what I do. Try and teach the kids to understand each other's cultures, because they might actually learn something from each other, you know?
You're right there.
I fought overseas, and in our section overseas, John, we had a gay man who was my right-hand man, and he actually saved my life. We had a Muslim, we had a Chinese bloke, and we had Caucasian, and we had an Aboriginal bloke. That was the mix we had. So we had a big stirring pot. And we had to learn to fight together, which is, I know we don't do that every day, John, but we had to learn to fight together, so we had to learn to understand each other, which I think relates back to Australia. We've got to learn to live together, so we've got to learn to understand each other and respect each other it frustrates me, you know. You tell your kids one thing, and then because of social media and everything, they see something else. They're getting half-truths and whatever else, and it's not helping the situation. The kids are growing up thinking that the white fellas are growing up thinking that that they've got to fight the black fellas, and the black fellas
it's wrong.
Fight the white fellas like they did in the old days.
Yeah, it's all wrong. All wrong, yeah. Pete. All right, mate. Well, I've enjoyed talking to you. I hope you call me again another day.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
And you too. Bye. Love it. Once upon a time, there were cannibals. No cannibals anymore. here. Pat Watts says, hi, John. Sam Kerr isn't Aboriginal, as your previous caller implied. I don't know. Did he suggest that she was Aboriginal? She's not. Her dad was born in India to an English father and I think an Indian mother. So I don't know, maybe that's caused some confusion. Anyway, Pat Watts, Sam Kerr isn't Aboriginal, as your previous caller implied. I didn't get the implication, but you did, Pat, and thank you for the correction, which wasn't really needed, but thank you anyway. Apparently the previous caller suggested that Sam Kerr was Aboriginal. Anyway, she's not. She was born in India to an English father and an Indian mother. Maybe there's just confusion, huh? Look, I spoke about this briefly earlier this morning. The principal of Sydney's Cranbrook School has resigned following a very damning investigation by the ABC. A Four Corners investigation has aired and it's suggested allegations that Nicholas Sampson kept a teacher on staff after he discovered that that teacher had sent multiple graphic emails to a female student. Of course, Cranbrook doesn't yet have any female students, and it relates to a time when the unnamed teacher worked at a Catholic girls' school. So really, what's it got to do with Cranbrook? Anyway, according to the ABC, the teacher boasted about looking up girls' skirts in class and described lurid sexual fantasies about his students. The teacher had been emailing a Year 10 student telling her that she was his solid fantasy and that he fantasized about seeing her naked, of course. He also told the girl that he'd fantasized about you and another girl in the class. Apparently in Year 9. Anyway, it goes on, but I think we've learned enough from that, haven't we? I mean, you get the picture, and the picture is disgusting. And what's worse is that apparently Mr. Sampson was advised about the emails in June 2015, but the teacher was still working at Cranbrook right up until this week. Now, what the hell is going on there? The school this morning confirmed that the teacher had been put on immediate leave. Yeah, a bit late. Anyway, Mr. Sampson didn't communicate his knowledge of the teacher's behaviour to Cranbrook School Council, and last night at the council meeting, Mr. Sampson offered his resignation. Good. The council said in a statement, the circumstances of the matter and subsequently Mr. Sampson's failure to disclose the matter to the current school council has led to the inconceivable breakdown of trust between the headmaster and the school council. The head of the junior school, Michelle Marquette, will become the acting head of the school. What a mess. I mean, it is a mess, and it's a pity because the school has a fine reputation. It's a long-standing reputation as well. Okay, pick up the telephone, dial the number and tell me what it is that's on your mind. 1-300-564-652 is the telephone number. 1-300-564-652, and tell me simply what is on your mind. Yeah, I love that. Marty Robbins, love his voice. The Big Iron. Classic song, classic Western. There was an album, Gunfighter Ballads and Trail Songs, I think, that Marty Robbins brought out. Had that on it, had El Paso on it, and had a couple of other great, great songs. A beautiful voice, Marty Robbins. Well, whatever suspension the Roosters' Spencer Lenu is set to receive for calling Brisbane's Ezra Mann a monkey, they should add 5 to 10 weeks in recognition of his plain ordinary bloody stupidity in bringing the NRL into disrepute, and that's what he's done. That's what he's done. I mean, you can't look at it any other way. He's going to get a suspension because he called Ezra Mann a monkey. Now, Lenu's moment of madness has completely overshadowed what was an exceptional season opening. the doubleheader in Las Vegas. The complaint was made by Mam on the field late in the Roosters' win over Brisbane. Now, after the match, Spencer Lenu attempted to play it all down, saying there was nothing to worry about. In fact, he laughed it off to one reporter, claiming that whatever might have been said was just fun and games. Well, it wasn't seen that way. It was neither funny nor was it a game. It wasn't funny. Later, back at the hotel where the team was staying, this boneheaded Lenu had another crack at Ezra Mann, making a beeline for him at their Las Vegas hotel and abusing him in the corridors. Grand final referee Adam G told the players at the time that he had not heard the ugly remark, but he placed it on report nonetheless, and there was apparently no audio of it either. In an act of perpetual self-harm, and they're good at it, the NRL has held over the planned judiciary hearing until next Tuesday, ensuring that the controversy dragged on for the remainder of round one. I mean, that was just plain, ordinary, idiotic. No other way to describe it. But yesterday afternoon, Spencer Lenu had a very ugly admission to make. He was pleading guilty at the judiciary. He had called Mann a monkey, but he apparently didn't mean it in a racial way. And a heavily curated statement, Lenu says, "I want to apologise to Ezra and his family for using the word I did, and I'm sincerely sorry to cause him such distress." Well, no, I don't think you are. Are you really sincerely sorry? I mean, you played down having said it that made the comments after the match, and then you sought to abuse Mam at his hotel in the hours afterwards. Lenu adds, "I've put my hand up and want to take ownership of this. I said the word. I didn't mean it in a racist way. Anybody who knows me know that that's not who I am." Well, you know, a lot of people are going to say, what a lot of BS that is. If calling somebody a monkey is not intended to be racist, then at what point was Spencer Lenu, what was he trying to say if he wasn't being racist? And as for putting up his hand and taking ownership of it, what a lot of rot. The Roosters players seem to think the whole ugly saga might just go away if he dug in. Now, Spencer Lenu's apology is not worth the paper it's printed on. His racist act of stupidity has overshadowed a terrific season opening in Las Vegas, and the NRL should hit him with a bloody big fine, a minimum 10-week suspension, and then add at least another 5-week ban for his act of grave stupidity and arrogance in thinking that he could fob off the whole thing as being a bit funny. It was not a bit funny. Okay, tell me what's on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Clayton, are you there?
Yeah, mate, yep, I'm here.
Okay, Clayton, what do you want to talk about?
Yeah, no, the monkey comment, yeah, is a bad thing, I must admit. That's just something you should knock on the head and get it done with. But what's, like, if you call someone a goose, like, I've actually heard, you know, if someone you don't dislike, you say, you're a goose. Is that insinuating the same sort of thing? Like, it's because it was a monkey, is it different to a goose? It could be a black goose or a white goose.
I don't know. That's a very interesting comment, Clayton.
Yeah, it's a weird comment. What he's done is wrong, I must admit. It's a wrong thing to say. But does it come back to the old sticks and stones thing?
Well, it could well do that. But what you're saying is right. I mean, what's the difference between a goose and a monkey?
Yeah, that's right. Because geese are black or white. You know, it's a colour thing. You say a monkey is just all black. Is it something that's insinuated because of that, or is it because he looks like a monkey? Is it because he's hairy like a monkey? What's the go with that?
Well, I'll tell you what the go is. In the history of European cultures, the comparison of a human being and an ape and a monkey was disparaging from the very beginning of the English language. The very beginning. Yeah. I mean, the comparison of humans to apes and monkeys was disparaging from the very, very beginning, understandably so. No, it wasn't a good thing to say. There's no excuse for it. It can't be laughed off, and it should never be said again.
Well, it should never be said again, that's right. But my point is, I think I've actually heard you call a guy a goose.
Oh, I have, yeah.
On the show, that's right. So it's just a name-calling thing. It's only because it was related to a monkey rather than a different animal.
Yes, but there, I think you're drawing a longbow there. I think that to call somebody a monkey is far more disparaging than calling them a goose.
Well, then what about a ringer?
A what?
If you call a person a ringer, like a redhead person a ringer, that comes from an orangutan. It's the same, you know, it's still a monkey.
Yes, well, I've got to say it's an expression I've never used and don't intend to use.
Yeah, like a ringer. You've never said ringer? You're a ringer?
No, it's never.
A redhead person?
Never, ever, ever.
You never heard of it?
Well, I've heard of it, but I've never said it, yeah. And I'm not about to start now.
No, that's right. I understand that.
Okay, Clayton, thank you very much for the call. Good to talk to you. You're a nice fellow. But it's bothersome using that stupid sort of language. It doesn't do any good to anybody, does it? But in the history of European culture, the comparison of humans and apes and monkeys has been disparaging since the very beginning. And yes, and it should have been too. It is disparaging, no doubt about that. The news in a minute, then we come back for the final hour, through until midday today. Okay, into the final hour of the John Laws Morning Show. If you'd like to give us a call, you can. 1-300-564-652. James, are you there?
Hi, yes, good morning, John. How are you?
I'm okay, James, thank you. What can I do for you?
I just want to sort of elaborate on the term monkey. After living here over in the States for 10 years, you know, I have friends who are African-American, and over the years this conversation's come up about the term of, you know, ape and monkey and gorilla and things like that. What it actually does mean, that you can't compare it to when someone calls someone a goose. That's nothing in common with that whatsoever. With the monkey phrase, it's actually referring to, like, the chromosomes and how there are only a few short chromosomes from being human. So it's actually quite a derogatory and disgusting term to use, and when people know that that's what it means, it's extremely offensive. So it's basically calling someone subhuman or not human enough, because of that link between the apes and humans and how there are only a few short chromosomes between the two. So it is quite an offensive and horrendous thing to word. It's borderline using the N-word. I just want people to sort of know that has its connotation as well. So it's very important people understand that.
Oh, yes. I certainly understand it, James, and you obviously understand it. There have been theories over the years and years and years that humans evolved from the ape. Nothing to do with the word ape, really, but that's what they say, and nothing to do with the word goose.
That's right. So when people call someone, when it's used in a derogatory term, as a monkey, it's basically saying their chromosomes are short. You know, they're not human. So it really is quite offensive to say.
Yes, it is. It is offensive. It is offensive, and under those circumstances, that kind of thing is better left off a sporting field.
100%.
Yep.
100%. Absolutely. Now, I just want to share that with you, John. That was all. And also with the viewers out there who might not understand. I work in disability services, and I've got a client who's been quite distressed because he doesn't understand what that all means and what the word monkey and why it's such a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I've been spending the last 4 or 5 days trying to word it to him in a way that he understands on how it means and why people are so upset.
Yep, true.
So those things inside you affect a lot of other people, you know?
Yeah, that's quite right, James. Quite right.
Yes.
Okay, thank you for the call. Good to talk to you, and that was a good comment. All right, tell me what's on your mind. Who's there? Peter, are you there?
Good morning, John. How are you doing?
I'm all right, Peter. What can I do for you?
Look, I normally agree with you, John, but in this situation, I don't agree with you regarding Spencer Lenu. I don't think he deserves suspension. Maybe a hefty fine, because what he did was nothing illegal on the football field. You know, some of our best commentators, like Andrew Voss, he calls Josh Adokar the fox, which is a menacing animal. He calls Daniel Tupou the giraffe. All this is a lightheartedness. By suspending Spencer, you're punishing not only him but the whole team and all his supporters.
Yeah, look, we've really covered the subject as to why the word monkey is offensive. It's considered to be offensive. The other words that you've suggested are probably stupid, but they're not offensive. But, I mean, you can't say that fox is offensive or, you really can't say a giraffe is effective either.
No, you can't. But, look, John, you're still calling somebody a name. You're calling him an animal. A monkey is not an offensive animal.
Well,
he didn't call him a coloured monkey.
No.
An effing monkey.
No.
You know, all right, so he said something stupid. Give him a fine.
I agree with that. He did say something very bloody stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm sure he's regretting it today.
Don't punish the whole team because they'll be losing one of their star players. The supporters will be losing one of their star players. Other teams not playing against them will be having an advantage with him not playing. Give him a fine and give that fine to charity or to somebody. But, you know, we've all been called names before.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but not under those circumstances. It's supposed to be a sporting field. Yes. You know, but you've got to understand, I'm sure you do understand, Peter, that evolution theories over the years have said that humans evolved from the ape. I mean, it's a known fact. Charlie Darwin said it to begin with. That's why the word monkey is offensive, because they say that we evolved from the ape. It's not just to do with name-calling.
If you get called one of the white fellas in the game a monkey, would there be this much outrage? No, there wouldn't be.
Probably not.
Of course not. You've got two coloured fellas having a go at each other. Now, if two white fellas had called each other a name, would there be this much hysteria about it? It's overtaken the whole Las Vegas experiment, which is fabulous.
I agree with that.
And if they give him a suspension, the NRL will only be adding to the hysteria. They will set a precedent that will last for years and years and years. Every time somebody's called something on the field and you don't like that player, you'll make a complaint. And the precedent will be there, right, let's rub him out for 5 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks. Give him a fine. These blokes are on $500,000. Give him a $25,000 fine. Give him a $50,000 fine. But, you know, it wasn't a high shot. It wasn't an illegal shot.
Oh, look, I just believe that everybody ought to grow up, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, honey, what were the names? It annoyed me. I'm a great football fan. And it's disappointed me that the start of the season has been overtaken by this silly situation.
Yes, well, I agree with that. And it is overtaken by it. And it's stupid. But why don't they all grow up? Who the hell cares what you get called?
Why? Because they're young and they're stupid and they got too much money and they haven't got good advisors around them.
Well, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it, Peter.
100% of these, John. But if this keeps going on, it shouldn't have waited till next Tuesday for a decision. The decision should have been made as soon as you landed back in Australia. There's your fine. Now go, keep your mouth shut in future. If it happens again, well, maybe you'll get a suspension. But they're walking down dangerous tracky if they suspend him, and a precedent will be set, and before you know it, all these great players will be out, sit on the bench, because of one stupid, lousy word.
Yeah, well, I doubt that that's going to happen, Peter, but I understand what you're saying.
I think the best thing he's done was plead guilty. I think he's pled guilty so he can nip it in the bud, stop it right here and now.
And that's what they should do. It should be stopped here and now. You're right.
It's good that there's no trial going ahead or no jury going ahead, because the people that were going to give evidence against him, they will then be targeted in future matches as being dobbers. These are grown Australian men, for God's sakes. You know, you don't go around giving evidence against one of your colleagues or your teammates or an opposition member to see them get in trouble.
No, you don't. Of course you don't. Well, all right, Peter, you've...
It's going to happen, John. But luckily that's been averted by Spencer pleading guilty. And that should give him some sort of leniency when it comes to punishment.
Only time will tell, Peter.
John, you have a great weekend. Enjoy the rest of the football.
And you too.
And let's bar it from next week. From next week, John, no more Spencer Lenny discussion, please.
Okay. All right, Peter, I'll leave it up to you. You control it.
All the best, mate. You look after yourself.
Thank you, and you too. Okay, Greg, are you there?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, Greg, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I'll get on the wagon on this disparaging comment. I think you're on the wrong horse there, John. I think there's a huge difference between disparaging comment and racist comment. I mean, you won't be able to call anyone a rock, a rat, a slug, a snake, a rock spider. And what about the Prime Minister? He's not allowed to call the opposition leader a bullhead. They're all disparaging comments, mate.
Yeah, but who cares?
The last thing we need to do is snowball this wokeism. And that's all you're doing. And I've heard you talk out about against this wokeism snowball. It's just out of hand.
I agree with you, but I'm not doing... You can't say I'm doing that.
We will never have a game of cricket if people can't have a bit of a sledge, for God's sake.
Yeah, but I haven't been... You're wrong. I haven't been doing that. We were explaining why the word monkey is considered to be offensive. That's all I did.
Mate, monkey's the least of our worries. I mean, racist comments, let's deal with that first, for God's sake. What about dole bludger? I mean, they're all disparaging comments.
That's right, and disparaging comments are going to be made constantly. They have been forever, and they will be forever again.
Yes, well, that's all I've got to say, but you're on the wrong one, mate.
But don't tell me I'm on the wrong one.
Well, you're so unpredictable. Whatever mood you're in, I mean, no one can predict you. You think, you know, this topic, oh, John will go that way. But, mate, I don't know what it is, but maybe you're not feeling too well today.
I feel perfectly well.
Seems to be you've gone a 360 on your normal tangent of views.
Oh, no, I don't know. I can't accept that.
Well, you should sit down and think about it, because I'm finding you so unpredictable these days. Maybe you're not feeling so well, but...
I feel perfectly well. I feel perfectly well.
Well, I hope you are, John, but look, that's all I've got to say, but it really disgusted me, this whole blown-up business.
Well, it disgusts me too. I mean, when are we all going to grow up, Greg? When are we all going to be able to say, oh, well, to hell with that, and ignore it?
That's exactly right.
I mean...
That's my point.
Okay, but I don't know that you can call me... But please don't call me racist, because I'm not.
I didn't call you racist, mate. Go back and have a listen. I didn't call you racist.
Yeah. Anyway, there are many variants to this discussion.
And, mate, to go back through the transcript.
I couldn't be bothered doing that. If you tell me that, then I accept that.
Unpredictable.
I accept you. I'm unpredictable. Of course I'm unpredictable. I've always been unpredictable.
And getting worse.
Well, or better.
Oh, mate, and I've got a lot of respect for you, but some day you just go way to the left or right on it.
Well, but tell me in particular, what have I done in particular?
But just one last thing we need is someone to enhance or motivate this whole wokeism bullshit. That's the last thing this society needs. Let's talk about, you know, common sense stuff. We just get in and work hard and make the country great.
I agree with all of that. You never get an argument out of me about that.
Well, let's just concentrate on the simple stuff, mate. Let's try and be decent to each other, but you'll never get that out of people in the heat of the moment. I mean, that's just endemic in the human nature, that's all.
Well, that's your opinion. You're entitled to it. You've expressed it. And I thank you for doing that. I don't accept the criticism, however, because I don't believe
it. You're entitled to it. You've expressed it. And I thank you for doing that. I don't accept the criticism, however, because I don't believe it. You're entitled to it. You've expressed it. And I thank you for doing that. I don't accept
Yeah, look, Greg, I've got to leave you, not because I want to, but your phone... Your phone is dreadful, so and you've gone anyway. Okay, pick up the telephone, dial the number, 1-300. I don't want to be called racist, because I'm not. you know, and unless you're on the end of an expression like that, you don't understand the seriousness of it. Now, I've never been called racist, and I don't want it to start now because I'm not. But the caller didn't call me racist, so we've got to keep that in mind. He didn't say I was racist, and he wouldn't want to say that because that would be totally incorrect. 1-300-564-652, if you would like to give us a call and tell us what is on your mind. Stephen, are you there?
Yes, good morning, John. How are you going?
I'm okay, Stephen. What about you?
Yeah, very well. John, look, this present discussion reminded me of something the British comedian Ricky Gervais said when he was discussing evolution. And he said, look, he quoted some guy who tweeted him. And the guy said to him, I've been going to the same zoo for 40 years and I've never seen a single monkey turn into a human being.
Yeah, well, that's interesting, isn't it?
I thought that was pretty funny. You know, he's very clever at times.
Yeah, that...
John, that's not what I rang you about. I rang you about the US presidency.
Yep.
I've just had a lovely breakfast with a lady friend this morning, and we had a disagreement over Joe Biden because my friend claimed that Joe Biden, if he wins the presidency, was going to hand over to Michelle Obama, and I said that I didn't think the American Constitution allowed that. That if he was to hand over, it would have to be to his vice president. But my friend was insistent that some expert from the US had been on the radio, and I just wondered what you thought about it.
I don't think that's possible. I think that the president or the vice president have got to be elected by the people. I wouldn't have thought that was possible at all.
No, that's exactly. I thought a transfer could potentially happen at the Democratic convention before the presidential election.
Yes,
but I couldn't see a handover taking place like that after the election.
No, look, my knowledge of American politics is not great. Nonetheless, I think that you're right. I couldn't see it happening either.
Thanks for that, John. Because I'll record this and I'll play it to my friend.
Yeah, don't blame me, son.
Good on you, John. Thanks a lot. Really enjoy your program. And that guy that was saying you swing from 180 to 360, he's got it all wrong.
That's good. I'm glad he's got it wrong, and I'm glad you think that, Stephen.
Thank you, John. No worries.
Good to talk to you. Give us a call again another day, huh? Yes, look, I've been saying for a long time, and a lot of people have been saying to me, that interest rate hike, probably the two before it, it seems that it's been called a bit of overkill. The economy is grinding to a halt. The November hike in particular was a real blow to the economic growth at the time when the economy was slowing down anyway and inflation was coming under control anyway as well. Now, I don't know if incoming Governor of the Reserve Bank, Michelle Bullock, has been intent on flexing her muscle early in the role. But that November rate rise appeared to be completely over the top, according to people that should know. And now a number of leading economists have come forward to agree. In a story for The Telegraph today, several economists take the view that the most recent rate hike was a mistake, given Australia's non-existent economic growth. And that's how it's been put. The latest GDP figures this week revealed that the nation would be in recession if it wasn't for the high record high migration and consumer spending taking a bit of a hit courtesy of the run of rate hikes, and particularly the most recent rise in November. It was the 13th interest rate rise since May 2022. It was completely over the top, according to the experts. And it's had the effect of stunting the economic growth. And that's what it's done. And here is what, I don't know, I don't understand. If I can have seen the dangers of that November rate hike, why couldn't the experts who were setting the damn rates anyway, why couldn't they see them? I mean, if I could see them and people who've talked to me could see them, the economy had already endured 12 interest rate high rises. We were groaning under the strain of the hikes, and yet the Reserve Bank went again in November. I don't know, isn't that overkill? I think it was. I'm no accountant, though, but people I talk to, one economist has told the Telegraph, like consumers, businesses are suffering with insolvencies on the rise, while growth is being propped up by government spending and migration as well. And, you know, it's not hard to see where the money's going. According to the Commonwealth Bank analysis, interest paid on housing debt is up by nearly 40% over the last year, and it soared by a massive 162% from the lows, admittedly, of the pandemic. You know, that's literally billions of dollars being siphoned off by the banking sector through higher interest rates that previously were being spent in the economy. You know, it's no wonder economic growth has ground to a crawl, and all because of a mistake by the Reserve Bank. And that's what it is. It's a mistake by the Reserve Bank. Hard to say that. Hard to accept it, too. We don't expect the Reserve Bank to make mistakes. Okay, pick up the telephone, dial the number and tell me what it is that is on your mind. 1-300-564-652. Derek, are you there?
G'day, Aussie. How you doing?
I'm all right, Derek. What can I do for you?
Oh, look, Aussie, mate. There's never been so much bloody gabble on about this racism thing. I admit that, you know, it doesn't matter what you call someone, you know, like, you know, it's discrimination in any way. Like, if I called you an effing idiot, you know, am I discriminating towards you, or am I racist towards you if I call you an effing idiot?
No, a lot of people might say you're quite accurate.
No, you're not. I said you're a bloody good bloke, mate. That's racism. Anyway, yeah, I believe that this Spencer bloke, I believe he apologised to the other fella. And I believe in the hotel room he actually abused him. Is that right?
Well, that's what we're hearing. We're hearing all sorts of things. I don't know.
Well, there must have been witnesses there.
You would think so. Anyway, that's what we're hearing, but it hasn't been verified. I'd like to leave the whole bloody thing alone. Who cares?
Well, as I said, you know, like if he did apologise to him and then abused him in the hotel room, well, isn't abuse an assault?
Oh, yeah. Look, they're big boys. Get over it, for God's sake.
But anyway, let's talk about the football. What did you think of the game last night?
I didn't watch it. Raiders won last night. They were good.
Yeah, I watched it there. I thought, you know,
mate, I got to go. The clock is on the wall has just told me get out of here.
It's Friday, it's Friday, the best day of the week. The day we all look forward to, the day that we all seek. Not Monday or Tuesday, I'm really glad that they have gone. It's the day we plan for Saturday, hoping for a sunny day. Boy, I sure am glad it's Friday.
The John Laws Show. The week went that way.
Poor little koalas falling out of the trees.
Yeah, they're just knocking the trees over with the koalas in them and running over them.
Oh, dear, dear, dear.
Oh, it's absolutely disgusting.
I know that injured koalas were taken to Kangaroo Island Wildlife Network.
They showed that and a lady's interviewing the mayor and you listen to what he's got to say. It's absolutely disgraceful.
21 had to be euthanized due to the severity of their injuries. Poor little things, cuddly little koalas, God damn it.
Oh, John, you've got to see it. You won't believe what they're doing to them.
Sounds awful.
It absolutely is. The worst thing I've ever seen.
Well, Gail, thank you. I think thank you. It's not a good story, is it?
No, it's disgusting. I've been awake all night. I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I know they took the injured koalas to Kangaroo Island.
They showed all that when the fires went through. This woman showed all that. And then she showed what they're doing to them at the moment.
Katie, can you start by briefly telling us what is happening. Why are the trees being logged?
So these trees were planted on Kangaroo Island in the mid-1990s. A lot of it was for carbon credits for large companies to get their credit writing up. And it was never a good business plan because there was no exit plan for the trees. So multiple companies bought these trees and then sold it on to other companies because it was just too difficult to get them off. So they were always meant to be harvested. What's happening now is just a result of trees being left for a long period of time and they've become habitat. And this is not nothing new. This has been happening in Victoria for years where koalas move into blue gum plantations. They can support a higher density of koalas inside the plantations because of the food source and the nutritional value of those trees compared to native trees and vegetation.
Can you tell me how many injured and killed koalas have you located? A lot?
We have located a lot, but probably not as many as are actually being injured. So all we're asking is for a better plan from the government and from the company around the animal welfare issue. We know it's not going to be possible to save every animal, but we just don't feel that their animal welfare practices are up to scratch, and it's quite frankly unacceptable. So we just need everyone to sit down at the table and come up with some better mitigation strategies.
Okay, tell me, what sort of injuries have you had to treat? Broken shoulders and legs and arms? What sort of thing?
Oh, all of that. Crush injuries, dehydration, animals that are found days later that, just can't recover from their injuries. And koalas have a very low stress threshold. So if you can imagine you survive that and you move further into the plantations to get into another tree, it's just going to happen again and again and again.
I have previously highlighted the untold rorts associated with credit and debit card surcharges as the major banks try to encourage more of us to go cashless, and then they whack you for the privilege. Now think about this. Over the past decade, there have been more and more bank branches closed right across the country. The number of ATMs offered by the banks has been reduced as well, and that's resulted in a reduction of cash transactions across Australia. It's all been part of the financial engineering from the banks. They've encouraged and they've shaped this massive shift towards the increased use of electronic transactions away from cash. Now, it was billed as the inexpensive way of transacting into the future until the banks got in the way to protect their turf, and now there are surcharges on surcharges on surcharges when you pay by card. And extraordinarily, the size of the surcharge can be different based on whether you tap your card or swipe it. Can you believe that? The latest figures from the Reserve Bank show Australians are losing nearly $1 billion a year in card surcharges, the exact number, $920 million. You know, it's a rort, beyond belief, a rort. In the United Kingdom and in the European Union, credit card surcharges are banned. But in Australia, retailers are allowed to recoup their repayment costs through passing surcharges onto the customers as long as they are not profiteering from it. But they are. Retailers and food outlets appear to focus on the expense of accepting card transactions without also acknowledging that their cash handling costs have plummeted as well. You know, years ago, businesses had to plan and pay for regular cash pickups and deliveries and handling. All that cash brought the risk of hold-ups and brought the risk of robberies. You know, businesses could not impose a huge surcharge on cash for those associated costs, and yet somehow they can today. What's happened?
The Greens just become a political party. They don't care about the environment in my book.
OK, but I agree with you. I mean, where the hell are the Greens? Where are they?
Well, they're too busy fighting and bickering and trying to take down the Labor government or anybody who wants to do anything. No time for Adam Brandt at all. None.
What about those little darlings called the Teals? Where the hell are they?
Yeah, well, they were just a disruption in the major scheme of things, I think. And as for Lydia Thorpe, my God, what's wrong with our politics?
No, there's nothing.
What's wrong with them all?
No, there's nothing wrong with our politics. It's only the politicians that are the problem.
Okay, I'll give you that. It's the politicians. What's wrong with our politicians? Are they just career politicians that want the golden egg at the end of their tenure?
Yes, a lot of them are.
Oh, I just think it's so. It just breaks my heart. I'm 74. And I've seen a lot of politics. I've even been interested in politics since the days of the Domain with Webster and all those sort of things back in the 60s. So I've been an interested part of politics for a long, long time. And I'm just watching it all deteriorate, even globally.
Yeah, well, I can...
America now, what the hell's happening over there? They're trying... A despot's trying to get himself elected. I mean, really, what's going on? I'm passionate. I'm really passionate.
You're wound up about it, Mick. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks for taking it. Bye, John. Have a good day.
And you too. Bye. He's a nice man. Very nice man. All right, Simon, what do you want to talk about?
Congratulations on your fabulous, what you've done over all these years.
Well, that's very nice of you. Thank you.
We do go back a long way because I can remember as a 10-year-old, you pulling the radio out from the wall and getting in behind it and saying, oh, this is Long John.
You got a good memory.
Yep. Not as good as yours, though, I don't think.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. The days of Long John are long gone.
Tell me about it. The legacies of Vietnam trips and... Have all caught up with me, my friend.
Are you in bad shape?
Yep, bad shape.
What's the matter?
Asbestos.
Oh, God.
Yep.
Asbestosis.
Yes, mesothelioma.
Where did you work?
In the Navy.
I've heard a lot of asbestosis coming out of the Navy.
Yes, it was on the ships everywhere, and I was on the Sydney when she was... changed from an aircraft carrier to a troop carrier, and it was at Cockatoo Dock for 6 months. You can imagine what the mess was like.
Could you tell me, is it affecting you badly now? Do you find it difficult to breathe?
Yeah, I've had 11 lung drains in the last 12 months.
Oh, God.
And very difficult to breathe, and just about given up my golf game, unfortunately.
I'm sorry to hear that. It's a dreadful thing. It really is a dreadful thing.
Yep.
Anyway, Simon, I hope life improves. I'm sure it will.
I hope so, John. But, just the inspiration that you've done for so many people and over the years and some of the lives that you've saved, and you've been extraordinary, my friend. It's been an absolute pleasure having to know you for so long.
And now, more of The Week Went That Way, the best of the John Lewis Show.
I'd like to talk about dementia. Dementia has taken over the death rate in Australia, and there is 1.5 million people with dementia, and then they say it is going to double in the next 10 to 20 years. So there will be 3 million people in a zombie state, which will need 3 million people to cater for each person. So that'll be 6 million people. And then the families that are suffering through the direct cause of dementia through an elderly mum or dad, it's going to relate to the 15, 20 million people. And the people that are going to be working to pay the taxes to look after the people with the dementia. And what I'd like to say, why is this dementia occurring at a rapid rate? dementia can be great for some people. They get on in life and they, you know, and but some people suffer, and their relatives and family, they all suffer. I'm in my mid-60s. When I was a child, we never heard of dementia. But yet it's happening at a rate that's out of control. And I think there should be more to the dementia, because at the end of the day, there's going to be 6 or 7 million people with it, and we need the people to look after them. How do we have a productive country when we're not being able to forge forward as a country, when we have these issues from health and we don't know where they're arising from? There must be a problem somewhere. I don't know where it is, but the dementia rate is causing a catastrophic disaster in this country, and it's the most saddest illness on earth.
It is estimated that there are more than 421,000 Australians living with all forms of dementia. 421,000 at this time. That's a lot of people.
I just wanted to see how you feel about the next generation of tradespeople. It's all the up-and-comers. Now, there's a big shortage in apprentices in all trades.
I'm sorry to hear that, and I think that young people who get into a trade are very wise, and I have great respect for them. It's a very, very good thing to do. But we're short of tradies, aren't we?
Yes, we sure are.
How do you make it more attractive? What's wrong with getting into a trade now? What's the problem?
I'd probably say it's the same as it is with every generation, the money.
Yeah, probably is. What's your trade?
I'm electrical.
Yeah, I thought that paid pretty well.
Probably not for the first 4 years. Depend if you're in a rural area, I suppose.
I don't know that any jobs pay very well for the first 2 or 3 or 4 years, do they?
Probably if you're in the mines, but probably not.
Yeah, you've got to have 2 or 3 years to prove your value, to prove your worth.
Yes, but I'm thinking the young people don't want to have to work for 2 years before they can earn anything good. I think that's what I'm thinking.
Well, I think you're thinking correctly. I think that's probably got a lot to do with it. Everything takes time, but I think you've probably got a good point. You can't go out there, start work and make a good salary to begin with. You've got to work up to it, and they don't like the first couple of years working up to it.
Yeah, we're not getting in as many apprentices as we used to. Like 5 years ago, we'd have apprentices walking in the door like every month for apprenticeships, but you just don't get it much anymore.
The appeal must have gone out of apprenticeships.
I think so. It's more in social media now.
Yeah, that's a bit of a pity.
I just want to let you know I really enjoy your show, travelling to and from job sites.
That's nice of you to say so, Cooper. Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate. I'll talk to you soon.
Lithium-ion batteries, a video I saw last night online. It looks like overseas security footage, but there's a dog asleep on his bed, and you see the smoke start from this battery that's on charge, and the dog gets up and pulls the lead out of the wall. Like, he has a bit of a struggle with it. It's not a quick and easy job, but he ends up pulling it all out of the wall and stopping the fire.
How good. What a terrific dog.
I thought he was pretty clever. Yeah, it was incredible to watch. It's online somewhere, so you might be able to find.
I wonder how the hell the dog knew that the fire was coming from the electricity.
Well, it seems that the battery's just sort of sitting out on a charger. It's not in a bike, it's not in a scooter or anything like that. It seems to be sitting in the middle of the garage or outdoor area, wherever it is. You see the smoke start to come from this. It must have been making a bit of noise too, I suppose. And the dog got up and he's just grabbed at the leads and started pulling them, and he's eventually pulled it all out and stopped it. And he's gone back, got on his bed and gone back to sleep.
That's the kind of dog you want, isn't it?
That's for sure, yeah. Who needs Smokey the Bear when you've got a dog like that?
What a wonderful dog.
Doesn't look like he's a special breed or anything, just your regular old, Hinds.
Yeah, I've got a picture of it here. That's fascinating.
I thought he did a marvellous job.
Well, he did do a marvellous job. I'm watching it now. He's pulling and pulling and pulling on the lead. He's wagging his tail, but I think he might be barking at the same time. Now he's got it out. Hey, what a good dog.
Yeah, it just sort of diffuses everything. It stops the smoke, the flames and everything, and
and then he goes back to bed.
Yeah, that's, yeah, I thought that was the best bit.
Yeah.
Dog's done. Good night.
Yeah, what a good dog, huh?
That's a beautiful bit of footage.
It really is. It really is worth looking at. That's a lovely dog. It looks like it could have a bit of shepherd in it, that dog.
Yeah, and then his owner comes home and puts him down because he's buggered his insurance claim.
Sorry, mate.
That's all right, Ralph. Thank you very much for the call, Ralph.
Them sports people, you know, the soccer player fella, Sheila, you were talking about?
Yeah, the Sheila, yeah.
Every time these fellas, doesn't matter if they're black, white or brindle, every time they get famous, they think they can do and say what they want, don't they?
Well, Nugget, you've got a point.
Yeah, they think they're above the law. You know, the footballer fellas too.
Yeah, well, to a degree, you're right. I mean, a lot of them remain very humble and well-behaved and properly behaved. It doesn't happen as much with cricket as it does with other sports, though, does it?
No, and rugby union doesn't seem to happen as much.
No, that's right, they're better behaved, you're right.
Yeah, but they think they're better than everyone else and soft skin.
Yeah.
You know, when we'd play football and I used to do a bit of boxing, they'd, you know, people sledge you all the time. Now they only got to say something, the black fellas, and they got skin on them like a sausage. Yeah, you know, like they burr up quick, eh?
Can't take it anymore, Nugget.
We had skin on like crocodile when we was younger.
That's the way you got to be these days. You got to have skin like a crocodile.
You would have been the same, John. You would have got a bit of sledging and that done when you was a young fella.
Oh, yeah. Still do occasionally.
Yeah, just turn around. Don't think about him, you know.
Yeah, tell him to nick off.
Yeah, just get on with it. Yeah.
Well, that's what I've got to do now, Nugget. I've got to get on with it.
Well, mate. I'll talk to you a bit in a couple of weeks when the boss lets me. Yeah, she's listening, so I can see her over and sitting on the veranda now with the cup of tea.
Tell the boss I said good day and we'll talk to each other again, Nugget.
Well, it is that I must leave you now. I do hope you enjoy the remains of the day. Have a great weekend. Thank you for listening, and you be kind to each other.
Let me be a little kinder, let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I'm weary, just a little bit more cheery. Think a little more of others and a little less of me.